Happy Friday and welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you for tuning in this Friday morning and listening to my thoughts about what's going on in the world of baseball over the next 10, 15, 20 minutes, however long today's episode ends up being. I appreciate you tuning in and joining me as I go over everything that there is to talk about in the world of baseball. Not really everything, but the things that I think are important. Just a usual reminder, you can listen to the podcast on either SoundCloud or iTunes. I hope you're listening on one of those platforms right now because those are the only platforms that I know that we're on. So you can find it on SoundCloud or iTunes. Just search Foul Ball Area and you can subscribe to the podcast and listen to it. Every time it's posted, it'll just show up in your feed. You can also follow us on social media at Foul Ball Area on Facebook and Twitter and stay up to date with all things Foul Ball Area. And while you're listening to the podcast, feel free to take a look around the website, foulballarea.com. Find the old episodes of the podcast and some other work that I've done for the other outlets that I work for, such as WUVT and the Tech Lunch Pail here in Blacksburg. It's a beautifully designed website, foulballarea.com. Make sure to take a look around while you're listening to today's episode. Continuing with some RCBL coverage as we, you know, kind of look back at the 2018 season, and not really doing an Icons episode today, because I'm talking to a current player, but I do have a pretty special guest today. Cody Swisher joins me. Cody Swisher plays for the Clover Hill Bucks in the RCBL. He was named to the 2018 RCBL All-Star team before an injury took him out for the rest of the season. So Cody joins me today, and Cody, I'm just going to dive right in. What kind of went through your mind when that injury happened and you had to leave the game and possibly miss the rest of the season?
My first thing I thought about, you know, am I going to be able to play ball for the, you know, the rest of the summer? You know, am I going to be able to help, you know, Clover Hill out as best as I could? You know, was I going to be able to, you know, do my part? But, you know, unfortunately it didn't work out that way. But, you know, that's pretty much what first came to my mind once all that, you know, happened.
Of course, the injury did keep you sidelined throughout the rest of the season, but you were still there. I mean, you were at, almost every game that Clover Hill was playing, I saw you at, and yeah, I mean, you were right there supporting the team. Is that just kind of the, you know, the kind of teammate that you are? You're going to be right there through everything?
Yeah, and absolutely. Like, we have the connection between us guys there at Clover Hill is just something that's really not describable. It's just one of those things that really you would have to experience. You know, we do a lot of things together outside of baseball. You know, after games, we'll all hang out. You know, we talked about some of us getting together and going to like a Redskins game this fall. You know, we're all really close in a group chat together. We talk just about every day, you know, about stuff, especially during the season. You know, we talk just about every day about stuff, you know, games coming up, you know, matchups, that kind of thing. So, I mean, we're really close. And, you know, once I got hurt, it just was a thing that I couldn't see myself not coming and supporting them, because I know they would have done the same thing for, you know, if one of them got hurt. And, you know, I wanted to win just as bad as they did, you know. And I know them seeing me coming there to support them, knowing that I couldn't be out there on the field, I know that meant a lot. And, you know, just the moral support, you know, is big. And, you know, I just wanted to be out there. You know, it didn't matter, you know, I didn't have my cleats on, or if I was there sitting on the bench, you know, with a cast on, supporting them. You know, it's just something I wanted to do, and I love being at that ballpark with that fans, and you know, with all those guys, and it's really enjoyable. Even though, like I said, I was sidelined for the rest of the season, it was still enjoyable to come and watch, you know, quality baseball, and you know, watch some of my best friends play, and you know, support those guys.
And you were still a key part of the team for the first half of the season, having a pretty good offensive season. And like I said, named to the All-Star team, going to be in the Home Run Derby. So you made some big contributions early on in the season. So what was it like being able to, you know, be a part of the team that, you know, go out there and win another pennant and share that with your teammates and your friends, having such a successful season?
Yeah, man, that was, you know, it was really honorable, and, you know, it was enjoyable. And, you know, I've only been with Clover Hill for 2 years. Coming up next season will be my seventh season in the league, and you know, it was real enjoyable getting our second pennant. It just came up a little short again, you know, with championship, which hopefully, you know, we'll get together and make another run next year. But you know, it was fun. It, the past two seasons with Clover Hill has been, you know, an absolute blast, and I'm so glad that, you know, I decided to come and play for them. You know, I've enjoyed it so much. It's almost been like you're playing travel ball when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, and you're playing with your best friends, and you're enjoying it so much. It's almost been that kind of atmosphere, you know, just enjoying the game that much more when you're all on the same page and, you know, you're all striving for one thing. And, you know, we got guys that are 17, 18 years old to guys that are 27, 28, 29 years old, and that we all just get along and all, you know, mesh so well, even though, you know, the big age difference there. It makes it that much more enjoyable.
So you said you're going to be with Clover Hill next year, and I was going to ask you, because I saw your Twitter post later on this season about you didn't really know what the future was going to hold for you, if the injury was still going to be lingering, and you didn't really know where you were going to go from here, but you're going to be coming back to Clover Hill again next year?
Yes, sir. I said I plan on coming back. Now, with that being said, it'll be probably a decision probably about March or so. It's really a six-month recovery, so I had surgery in July, so 6 months from then. So once I get, you know, recovered fully from that, I'll try to get back to the swing of things, see how it feels. You know, if it still lingers by then and it's not the same, then, you know, my role might change where I might be, you know, I might just be with the team just as a relieving pitcher. It could be something simple as that. Or it might be, instead of, I'm a guy that plays 28 games in a regular season, I might be a guy that only plays 10 to 15 games just so I could stay healthy and get to the, you know, playoffs. You know, it'll depend, you know, when that time comes that I can make that decision, what's best for, you know, my health. Then I'll do that probably, like I said, probably March, April. I'll be able to make a more wiser decision. It's real hard now because I can't do much of this now. I got back to work here about a month ago, and you know it's definitely not the same now. But I said it'll take some time for me to, you know, really see how it feels once. I don't really know until, you know, February rolls around and I pick up a bat and swing it, or, you know, I'm lucky that I'm left-handed so I can still pitch and everything, and it doesn't really affect me. But I won't know until February or March when I can pick up a bat and swing it and see how it feels. But yeah, I definitely, for the 2019 season, I'll definitely be with the team. It just depends on my role. Will depend on, you know, how it feels back in, or coming up March and April.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm sure Clover Hill is going to love to have you there, and the fans. And, you know, I got to say, I think you are probably one of the most engaging players in the league. I mean, I follow you on Twitter, and like every time the Bucks win, you're tweeting out about the Buck train rolling, and it just seems like you just have so much fun being around the game of baseball and playing with Clover Hill.
Yeah, man, it's so enjoyable. The fans, you know, you interact with them each and every day, and you know the support they get, man, it's unreal. You know, you take a little town Dayton out, I mean, the field's out in the middle of nowhere, and you get to a ball game there. I mean, it's just like people come out of nowhere, and they love baseball there. And, you know, when you got the fan support like that, and you got a team where, like I said, everybody enjoys it, and everybody is on the same page and wants to win. And, you know, we interact the way we do, that, you know, it makes it, you know, that much easier to, you know, enjoy the game and everything. And that's how I've always been, you know, with whatever I do. You know, I've always tried to, you know, support and everything. And on Twitter, you know, like I said, I wasn't playing all the summer for the majority of the summer. You know, I was still putting things out there, you know, come watch us, you know, at the Clover Dome and everything, and the playoffs and all that. So, yeah, I'm really, you know, with that kind of thing. So, like I said, I've always been that way from back when I played for Ray Cademan for 2 years, and then ended up coming to the Steelstrap Diamondbacks for 2 years. I was that way. So that's just who I've always been, is, you know, put that kind of thing out there and, you know, try to get as much support as we can.
So I've got to ask you, because I know that you, like myself, are a Braves fan. So how are you feeling about the Braves this season? How fun have they been to watch this year?
Man, that's I had heard, man, we had tons of young talent, you know, in our farm league system, and I'd heard that it wasn't going to be this year. It could be next year or the year after that we really could make a name for ourselves in MLB. And, you know, it's been awesome to keep up with, you know, Albies and Acuna, and, you know, these young guys are came up and they just, you know, they stepped in a role like it was like they're veteran, you know, like they're Freddie Freeman. They just, it's awesome to watch some of these younger guys. And then some of these other guys, you know, that have been in the league for a little bit, they've stepped up. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, when you're playing with quality talent, you know, like Freddie Freeman and some of these other guys, and it makes some of the younger guys better. And it's just, it's been awesome. I can't wait for the postseason. I think we got a series coming up with the Phillies this weekend, a four-game series that, if I'm not mistaken, if we win three or four of those games, if we sweep them or win three games or so, we might be able to clinch the division this weekend. I'm not quite sure. But I know we are really close to clinching the division. And I don't think we've clinched the division since 2012 or 13. And I've always been a Braves fan since I was little. You know, they were on TBS when we were, you know, younger. That's how I was a Braves fan, and, you know, it's I can't wait for this postseason to see if we can make some noise and maybe win a World Series.
Yeah, it certainly has been fun. I know I didn't expect it. I know the beginning of the season they started winning a few games, and I was like, oh, it's early. You know, anyone can do well with this early in the season, and I don't think it's going to last. But then they've been just playing so well all season. It's been really fun to watch.
Right, yeah, it's been really fun. I said that. I've been keeping up with it, and my dad and my granddad are both Nationals fans, so I give them a little bit of crap over it. But you know, it's fun to watch. You know, I said a lot of people didn't think we would not be this good, including me. I didn't think it would be this good this year, and we've just kind of, you know, we've just exploded, and hopefully keep it up in the postseason.
All right, well, Cody, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on the podcast and talk to me, and I look forward to seeing you back on the field next year.
Yeah, definitely, man. I look forward to being back and look forward to seeing all you guys and everything and being a part of the league.
So that was Cody Swisher of the Clover Hill Bucks talking about his injury during the 2018 season, the fact that he'll come back for 2019, and the way the Braves have been playing this season. It's been really, really fun to watch the Atlanta Braves, and it's always good to talk to a fellow Braves fan because I don't know that many Braves fans around here. While I'm on the topic of the RCBL, I do have to give a quick shout out because a few weeks ago I, you know, went through and thanked everyone that had helped out with the RCBL this season. I thanked my staff, I thanked the guys at WHSV, I thanked Dave Thomas and Carl Magenhofer, but I left out a very important person. I got to give a huge thank you to Steve Lowe, my broadcast partner for the 2018 season. He joined me on almost every online broadcast, and he was a phenomenal analyst. He really helped me out, providing great coverage of the RCBL during the 2018 season. So a huge thank you to Steve Lowe for joining me for the RCBL online broadcast during the 2018 season. I really do appreciate it. Now, sticking with the Atlanta Braves, kind of, this is related to the Braves. Just, it might take a while, but I'll get there. Reese Davis of ESPN's College Game Day came out with his list of the top five locations for College Game Day, his favorite schools and campuses to go to for College Game Day. Number one was Virginia Tech, and number three was JMU. So two places, I mean, two cities that I love, Blacksburg and Harrisonburg, made Reese Davis's top five ESPN College Game Day locations. And I think that was really cool because Harrisonburg is obviously my hometown. I grew up there. I spent 21 years of my life there, and I love it. But Blacksburg is where I live now while I'm going to Virginia Tech, and it's a beautiful place. I love the people here. I love Virginia Tech. So Blacksburg is also a place that I love. So the fact that both those schools, Virginia Tech and JMU, are both on his top five list, but just those two places, Harrisonburg and Blacksburg, two of my favorite places in the world, and I think that's really cool that they both made his top five College Game Day locations. And while we're talking about Reese Davis, last year, around this time, almost a year ago, we had Reese Davis on the podcast. He came to speak to the National Sports Media Association chapter at Virginia Tech. He was here for the Virginia Tech-Clemson football game, and he came and spoke to our club. And I got a quick interview with him and talked to him and found out that he is, in fact, a Braves fan. And we talked about the Braves, how they've been performing over the past couple years, how they weren't very good, but how they had a bright future ahead of them. And this is what he had to say about the future of the Atlanta Braves.
I think they're getting there. Dansby Swanson is a friend of College Game Day, and a really, really good guy and a talented guy. And I think the second baseman, Ozzie Albies, is something that you can build around. And Freddie Freeman's one of the best hitters in the game. So I think the future looks solid for the Braves. Those two guys in the middle of the infield have to produce, and I think they will. They're both very talented.
So that was Reese Davis on the future of the Atlanta Braves, what they had to do in the future to get better and to compete at a higher level and to actually, you know, make a run at a playoff chance at a World Series championship. And I think they've done it. You know, Dansby Swanson, Ozzie Albies, they've had pretty good years. Freddie Freeman putting the team on his back. He's still a really good first baseman. And all the guys they have around them, the Braves have put together a really good team this year. And they have, I mean, they're going to win the National League East. Like Cody said earlier, they have to, you know, win 3 or 4 games against the Phillies, and then they'll clinch the National League East. I don't see them losing it. They have a 6.5 game lead, I believe. So the Atlanta Braves should be National League East champions this year. And then they could make a legitimate push at, you know, a World Series. I mean, the National League has a lot of teams that are very good, but I think the Braves can contend with any of them, and they should be able to make a legitimate playoff run, maybe end up in the World Series. It could happen. You know, wherever they end up this year, they've had a phenomenal year from what people expected and where they were last year. They've improved drastically, and it's been a great year to be a Braves fan. Now, I've been thinking for some time about branching out, talking about other topics on the podcast. You know, keeping the focus on baseball, but talking about other topics, you know, life, culture, styles, anything, any other topics that I'm interested in. And so for today's Something to Say, we're going to talk about music a little bit. Earlier this week, someone on Twitter asked Marty Smith of ESPN what his favorite George Strait song was. And Marty Smith replied saying that his favorite song was Love Without End, Amen. And that's a very good answer. That's a respectable answer. It's a great song. Someone replied to that tweet with a bracket that they had made of 64 George Strait songs. And then they narrowed it down to one, the best George Strait song. And their bracket was completely wrong. I don't have a problem with their winner. We'll get to their winner in a second. But everything else about the bracket was wrong. I'm going to list some of the things that they got wrong in this bracket of 64 George Strait songs. First of all, Carried Away was eliminated in the first round. They had Carrying Your Love With Me versus I Can Still Make Cheyenne in the first round. Those are two great songs. You can't have those go against each other in the first round. I Can Still Make Cheyenne loses in the Sweet 16 to Troubadour. I mean, Troubadour is a good song, but I Can Still Make Cheyenne is probably a top 4 song from George Strait. Give It Away was out in the first round. You Look So Good in Love was eliminated in the first round against Marina Del Rey. I don't agree with that. That's wrong. Love Without End, Amen was eliminated in the second round versus Baby's Gotten Good at Goodbye. That's wrong. All My Exes Live in Texas, the iconic, like when you think of George Strait, that's the song you think of. It was eliminated in the first round against If You Ain't Lovin', You Ain't Livin'. So that's wrong. Oceanfront Property, gone in the second round. Nobody in His Right Mind Would Have Left Her went up against Amarillo by Morning in the first round. Those are two great songs. They can't go against each other in the first round. That's not fair. Songs that weren't even included: Run, Check Yes or No, I Got a Car. Now, I know I Got a Car is a pretty new song, but it wasn't even included. You got to include that in a 64 song bracket. The one thing that this guy got right was that the winning song was Amarillo by Morning. It's a great song that deserves to win. I can agree with that. I Can Still Make Cheyenne should have been in the championship against Amarillo by Morning. That's just my opinion. I appreciate the effort that guy put into making that bracket, putting together 64 George Strait songs, but I just think that his methodology was a little questionable. That's my Something to Say for this week. So there you go. We talked to Cody Swisher of the Clover Hill Bucks, talked to him about his year this season, getting injured, missing half of the season, but he will be back next year. And we talked a little bit about the Atlanta Braves turning it around from previous years and making a run at the National League East title this season. We heard from Reese Davis, who I talked to last year, heard his predictions for what the Braves have to do to actually be a playoff contender. And I think they've done it this season. And then started to branch out for the first time talking about something other than baseball, talking about the best George Strait songs of all time. That is all I've got for this week's episode of Foul Ball Area. I hope you enjoyed listening to my rant about country music. I hope you enjoyed listening to how much I loved watching the Braves this season. And I hope that you will tune back in next Friday for another episode of Foul Ball Area right here at foulballarea.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew Atkins.